we're going to get into a message called Matchless. And we're going to talk about what a matchless God he is. How many of you walked in today feeling a little bit blah? A little bit like, man, I don't know, life just sometimes doesn't always hand me the easiest things, and there's things that are hurting me right now. There's things in your heart that have you ever gone before God? I know the past couple weeks I've been going before God every Sunday, and there's just something in my heart like, ugh. And I hate that. It's like, can't I just approach the throne and be like, yay! No, it's like, go before the throne and, you need to fix that. What's that in your heart? You need to, you know. And that's been my life lately. And it's good because, you know, I never get away with anything. But that's been my story my whole life. If it wasn't my dad, it was God now. So, but, you know, God's good and he's faithful. And he is just beyond me, which is so comforting. He's so beyond my flaws and my failures. He's so beyond your flaws and your failures. He's bigger than whatever the situation brings you. He's bigger than whatever you're walking through right now in life. There's nothing too big for him. He's matchless. He's not looking at our economy and going, oh no, he's probably looking at our economy going, good, maybe they'll turn to me now and stop focusing on everything else. You see, God has a plan, and he's going to work all things for his good. But this is because he's a matchless God. He's untouchable. He's unique. He's exquisite. He's precious. He's valuable. And if we are Christ-like, you're unique. You're exquisite. You're valuable. And see, when we start to get a picture of who he is, he starts to give us a picture of who we are. So if you walked in today just like, maybe you're not satisfied with your weight. Maybe you're not satisfied with the way your hair looks. Maybe you're not satisfied with the way that you just don't feel good all the time or whatever your body's fighting off. Maybe you're not satisfied with the way your kids are acting. Maybe you're not satisfied with the husband and how he's treating you, or maybe the way that you guys are arguing or bickering. Maybe there's some friends in your life that you feel you've been backstabbed by. Let me tell you something. None of it is too big for your God. None of it. So we're going to get into the word today, and it's called being connected with a matchless God. I don't know about you, but I want to be connected to a matchless God. I'm not connected to this God that's untouchable and invisible. I'm connected to this God who lives inside my heart, who walks with me day in and day out, who corrects me when I need to be corrected, who loves me when I need to be loved, who comforts me when I need to be comforted. I may not be able to see him, but I can feel him, and I know he's with me. He walks with me. He holds me. And listen, if you don't know him today we're going to give you an opportunity. Because I can't preach this message, so get ready, everybody. I cannot preach this message and not do an altar call. Because there's a God in heaven who loves you more than you know. And girls, we live in this world of brokenness. We live in this world of pain. We live in this world of sorrow. We live in this world of sin. But in all of it, there's this God who thought of you before you were born. No matter how you got here, no matter what family you were born into, he knew you. And you know, girls, we have a tendency as women to always focus on someone else. Always take care of our kids, always take care of our husbands, always take care of the people in our world, because that's what we're made to do. We're nurturers. We're the ones that create that world and that atmosphere, the people that are in our lives. But girlfriends is a place for you to come and you get fed, for you to know how special you are, for you to get filled back up so you can give out to the family and for the people that you've been given. God put those people in your life, and he's a matchless God. You see, God has been a matchless God for all time. Nothing compares to him. He wasn't too big for David when Goliath came against him. He wasn't too big for Esther when she had approached the king to save the life of her people. He wasn't too big for the furnace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go into. You see, he wasn't too big for the cross that he had to die on for you and me. Because he's a big God. Nothing's too big for him. Nothing's beyond him. The word matchless means to be unequal. And I believe that. Not anything that I know in this lifetime is equal to God. He's unique. He's exquisite. He's beautiful. He's excellent. He's finely detailed. I love that. Because, you know, so many times we think of God as like a guy, and guys aren't finely detailed. He is. When he talks to me, he gives me what I need. He tells me the details of what I need. I love that. How many of you have that experience with him? He just tells you what you need. He is finely detailed. He's unmatchable, and he's the one and only. You know, so many times we look for the one and only in men. We look for the one and only in maybe our children. Maybe a friend, you put everything you have into a friend. That's not fair to that person. They're never going to meet your need. They're never going to be your answer. Because God did not create us when we were born for a man or children or another person to meet that one and only need. He made us so that you and him would be connected and he would be your true one and only. Everything else is a benefit. Everything else is a benefit. My kids are on loan to me. I love them and I adore them, but they're his. He just trusts me with them while they're here. My husband, he's an amazing man and I adore him. But God is truly my one and only. And I know that for Dan, that he is Dan's one and only. And because of that, we have a healthy marriage. In Isaiah 40:18, it says in the Message Bible, so you might want to just look at it over on the screens. So who can even come close to being like God? To whom or what can compare to him? Some no idol? Some no God idol? Ridiculous. It's made in a workshop, cast in bronze and given a thin veneer of gold and draped with silver filigree, or perhaps someone who has selected a fine wood, an olive wood. Say that won't rot, and then hire a wood carver to make a no God, giving special care to its base so it won't tip over. I don't know about you, but my God is not just a thin veneer God or a wood carving that tips over if somebody walks by or I have to feed it some food and it never gets eaten. Do you ever notice that in the nail shops? Hello, the food is not eaten. And, you know, honestly, let's talk about this. This is a God who created heaven and earth. This is not a little measly piece of wood or something that we choose. Now listen, girls, I'm going to say something. I want you to think about your lives. We think of a God as either God in heaven or we think of a God as like an idol. But have you ever thought of other things in your life becoming God? Do you put too much time into maybe your kids and not enough time into God? Now, I'm not telling you not to be a good mom, but I'm just telling you, you need to put God first. Maybe the husband, maybe some hobby of yours. You know, I remember my brother Luke, he was becoming a professional snowboarder. I mean, he was really good. He was sponsored by everybody. He was doing so good. And before he got into that sport, he was so in love with God. He was so passionate. And then those things started to take the place of God, started to take his time with God. And I said to Luke, I said, Luke, you're making snowboarding your God. And, like crabby with me and I'm fine, okay. And we leave for Rhema and he all of a sudden can't snowboard anymore because Oklahoma, you know, just doesn't have snow. So I was kind of like, you know, like, what are you going to do now? So it was funny because we had a conversation a little bit later while we were in Oklahoma and he's like, you're so right. It was my God. Because I was putting all my time, I was putting all my effort, I was putting all my energy into it, that I really wasn't making any time for God. I really wasn't making any time or effort for whatever God needed me to do. I was only thinking about what it was that I needed to do. Girls, you get busy. And if the enemy cannot get you to turn away from God, he'll just keep you busy so you stay away from God. Watch it. What becomes your God? Isaiah 40:25-31 in the Message says, so, who is like me? Who holds a candle to me, says the Holy One? Look at the night skies. What do you think made all of this? Who marches the army of stars out each night and counts them off? Calls them each by name, so magnificent, so powerful, and never overlooks a single one. Why would you ever complain? Or, O Jacob, or whine, O Israel? How many of you whine and complain? You all should raise your hand because you're women. Because I do too. And you say, why do you whine and complain? I hang the stars in the sky every single night. I know where they go. I know where they're placed. And yet you complain. See, we don't really have a picture of who our God is. Because if we did, those things would not be important to us anymore. We would be living for a bigger cause. So I'm pushing you today. You got it? We're going to be pushed today. We're going to change today. You guys ready to change today? So why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's the creator of all, and he can see and imagine. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't pause and catch a breath. He knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired and gives fresh strength to the dropouts. For even the young are tired and drop out, and young folk in their prime stumble and they fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and they do not get tired. They walk and they do not lag behind. I don't know about you, but if that's my God, I get to tap into that, and I get to not just lag behind in my life. I don't get to just pull life along and say, oh, woe me. No. Get up. Stand up, girls. Fight. Because let me tell you something. You have a God who knows who you are from the inside out, but he will not put up with your excuses. He will not put up with you placing other things before him. Because he knows who he is. He's not shocked at who he is. But he needs us to know who we are. Because when we know who we are, we then begin to walk in the blessings, and we begin to walk in the favor, and we begin to walk in, maybe things come your way, believe me, hard times will come. But you will be able to walk through them, and you will be stronger because of it. You will not fall, you will not fail, you will not get unequipped. Because he's unequal, there's no one like him, and if we follow him and serve him, then there's no stopping us. But so many times, something happens in our life, and we forget he's a matchless God, and we get right back on our situation. And for me, I wonder if God just looks down and goes, oh, seriously, here we go again. I mean, he probably would want to slap us. I mean, come on, snap out of it. What else does he have to do? Is dying on the cross not enough for you? Is giving his life for you not enough? Does he have to come down here and get in your face? And say, listen, I'm really a big God. No, he deserves more than that. I just saw a video. I could show it, but it's now too late. But about in the Muslim culture, I guess when young people, or especially the women, get saved, they have to do something called an honor killing, where the fathers murder the daughters. And there's a video going around on the Christian Tangle, and it's a 17-year-old girl, and she ran from her life, from her family, because she knew she would die. And that's in America, guys. America. They cover it up because it's religion in America. And let me tell you something. That little girl, when I watched her video, she said, I don't care. I love Jesus, and I will give my life for him. If I was born to die for him, I would die for him, because I know who he is, and I can never deny that. And I sat there, and I was like, and half of the Christian world is in and out, a little up and down. But if you were really faced with having to give your life for God, would you? Would you? You say you would. She really is faced with that. 17 years old. Willing to give her life for God in America. He's matchless. And when we know that about him, there's no stopping us. Death isn't even something we're afraid of. Death isn't even a question in our mind. Because you know why? This is just a part. My mom was saying that, Cheryl Salem was talking to her, and she was saying that this is like the womb. This is where we are like being birthed, and things are getting done here on earth, but then we're going to be birthed into heaven. This is just the beginning point, you guys. This is not the end. But what you do here counts for there. So, if we serve a matchless God, what are you willing to give him? What has his place in your life? What areas in your life are too big and that you've given up, that he's not big enough for you? Oh, well, God, just not doing it. You know, it's funny, when Chloe was hurt the other night, she said, Mom, and I could tell she was kind of having a little faith, like, little battle with herself. Mom, he's not healing me, he's not. And I looked at her, and I kind of got mad, like, what do you mean he's not healing you? And she said, I just don't feel like I'm healed. And I'm like, listen, this is not about feeling, Chloe, this is about faith. And you get back in faith, and God is working on your body, and maybe it's not in your time, and maybe it's not in your plan, little one, but it's in his. And in this, you stand faith. And she was like shaking, you know, and I'm going downstairs to get the Motrin, and I hear her pray, and she goes, okay, God, I know you're healing me, but can you take the shakes away so that it doesn't hurt my arm anymore? And I'm just thinking to myself, faith like a child, you know, God hears those things. But girls, if we could be like that. If even if you get off for a second, get back on. Jump right back on in faith. Get yourself back in line. Okay, wait a second here. What am I thinking? God's totally in control. He knows more than I know. How do I get connected to a matchless God? You say, fine, here's this big God. How do I get connected to him? How do I find that place? How do I be with him? How do I get close to him? If you got a pen, I want you to write this down. Point number one, you wait on him in rest. In the message in Lamentations 3, 25 through 30, it says, God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. Let's talk about that for a second. How many times have you prayed about something and then you kind of like walk away from it and you're like, okay, done, prayed about it, did my part. Then you kind of forget about it. Then you're mad later on. Like, why is it not happening? I prayed about it already. You know what? Diligently. I don't know about you, but to me, diligently means non-stopping. Keep going. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Doesn't say the woman who stops seeking. It's the woman who diligently seeks and keeps going and doesn't give up and doesn't waver and doesn't let in and doesn't let the things of this world get into her mind and start speaking things that shouldn't be spoken. It's a good thing to quietly hope. To quietly hope for help from God. It's a good thing when you're young and you stick it through the hard times. Let me talk to the young people for a second. I remember being young, and I remember something happened to me. Probably a boyfriend or something broke up with me. And I remember crying to Pastor Don and going, oh, God, my life is going to end. It's over. But, you know, I know it's stupid now. You know, I'm looking back going, oh, please. But seriously, when you're young, you have many falls. You have many fails. And I'm sure the older women can tell us this. And you look back and go, what was the big deal? Like, I made such a humongous deal about that. It really wasn't a big deal. You know what? It's not just for the young. We're the older women complaining too. We're the ones going, oh, if my arm would just move the right way like Chloe, you know? I mean, come on, Chloe, start moving it. Get in faith. Come on, tough it out. God is saying, go through those hard times. Stick it through those hard times. And verse 28 says, when life is heavy and hard to take. How many of you have been going through heavy, hard times right now? Kind of just hard to take. Not fun. Believe in God. Go off by yourself. Enter into silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Oh, hello. Shut up. Can you just shut up before God? Just go get alone. I love how Eleanor says she goes to her prayer closet. So I actually made my closet a prayer closet. I put a little sign above it, and it says, in prayer. And I go in my closet now, and I just be really quiet. It's usually when I'm mad at Dan. But it works, and I always get in trouble. But but one thing I've learned is to be quiet. Don't ask lots of questions. Wait for hope to appear. Don't turn from trouble. Take it full face. I love this. The worst is never the worst. Whatever you're going through, it's not the worst. Let me tell you what the worst is. If you were to not know who Jesus Christ was, or if you were to at one time know who Jesus was and you turned your back from him and you denied him and you died and you woke up in hell, eternity, and those flames aren't giving you up. You are there for eternity. That is the worst. So nothing here is bigger and worse than hell. So let's put some things back into perspective in our lives. Maybe you've been going through some hard times. There's been some brokenness and things happen. Yeah, work through that. It's going to be okay. You will make it through that season too. Remember, the Bible says everything is a season and it will change. Isn't that kind of refreshing? You don't have to stay wherever you're at right now, that it will too pass. I love that. It will too pass. Don't allow the voices in your world to distract you from the only voice that counts. How many times do you have women speaking into your life that should not be talking to you? How many times have you gone to a friend about something and they just aren't speaking life? How many times Have you gone to family member and it's just negative, 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 and then all of a sudden you go home, you're negative, and then your husband's like, whoa, gosh, quit hanging out with your family, seriously. I mean, you really have to watch yourself, girls, because we like to talk. We like a good story. We like drama. If we don't like it, we create it. Okay, reality, come on. And you know what? I know that's all ages because my grandma Ellen, the woman is crazy, okay? She is still all woman in her older 90s. So a woman is woman from young to old. Careful what you're listening to. Careful what you're putting in. Careful who is speaking into your life and covering the words of God in your world. Because God should be the one speaking life into you. God should be the final say. God should be the final outcome. All the other voices should just be maybe an encouragement or a blessing alongside of what you've already prayed about or what you've already heard from God. But if it's opposite from what you're hearing in your spirit, run. Cut it off. And be polite. You don't have to be rude. Listen, you are so annoying me. No. You could just be like, hey, you know, I don't feel like going to lunch today. I'm just going to go be with God today. You know, or, hey, I need to get off the phone because, you know, I just got to go clean the house and just go spend some time with God. I mean, seriously, be real. Don't lie. Go be with God. Stop yourself. Separate yourself. Distance yourself from voices that do not belong. Because you cannot wait patiently when there's all this going on. God wants you to wait patiently and rest. Because when you wait patiently, point number two, it goes right into hope in him. You can't hope unless you're patiently waiting. And you say, hope, okay, well, I don't really have so much hope in my life. To hope, waiting eagerly, to stretch a rope, do not lose your dreams and do not allow anyone to steal your dreams. Have you ever, ever, ever just had something birthed inside of your heart and you were excited about it and it was just fun and it was there and then all of a sudden it was like gone. And everybody's ripping it from you and saying, well, I don't know, not quite sure. Listen, it may just not be the time. There's things God has placed in my heart, and I know right now this is not the time or season that I'm in. I am in the season to be a mom. But you know what? Who knows? Maybe years down the road, God will bring those things back and birth them in my heart. Don't lose them. Because whatever God has given you, no matter what your age, no matter where you're at in your life, God gives you something individually. God placed you here for a reason. He needs you for a purpose. He needs you for a destiny. Now, you can stand on this earth and you can waste your time and look for it everywhere else and have no hope and be depressed and never want anything that God really has because you know why? You had to put something in to get something out. You're lazy. Quit being lazy with God. Do your job. Do your job as his girl. He created, he died on the cross for you. The least you could do is give him some time. And put your hope in him. Because let me tell you, out of hope bursts faith. And out of faith, mountains are moved. But you have to first hope for something. And that means that if you do not have faith, first start with hope. Okay, well then I just hope, God. I just hope. Just hope you'll change him. Just hope that you would change him, God. The words he says out of his mouth during the day to the kids and to us. Just hope. And that hope the next day will be, God, I know you can change him. God, I know you can change him. As time goes on, God, thank you for changing him. Today he encouraged us today. Today I saw him like play with the kids for the first time. Today, God, he didn't say harsh words to me where I felt like I was getting beat up verbally. Whatever your world is, whatever your case is, wherever you live, whatever your circumstance, hold on to hope. Hold on to hope, because hope will birth faith. In Romans 8:25, it says, but if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. Okay, so this is so the American problem. Everything's fast, right? I mean, seriously, how many times are you just hungry and you're like, let's just go through drive-thru, it's so much faster. I don't want to go home and actually cook a meal because I'm starving now, you know? Okay, maybe that's just me, I'm pregnant. So, but It is fast, fast, fast. We want everything now. We want it the way we want it. And that's just how it is. And God's saying, wait a second here. You have to be patient and wait with your hope. You can't just hope it and then expect it. You got to wait on me. You got to trust me. Because see, in that time of waiting and in that time of holding on to that hope, God is doing something inside of you. How many of you think you're perfect? Yeah, come on. If you raise your hand, we'll cast the demons out of you when you leave. Because that's just not, it doesn't, it's not reality. We all have flaws. We all have hopes and dreams that we've let go of, or maybe that we've just forgotten about. How many of you just got busy and forgot about them? You know? And that's what God is saying. He's saying, wait patiently with composure. Do not freak out about it. How many times do you freak out? Like, oh my gosh, okay, like this is just so not happening. Like the bills are due tomorrow. There's no paycheck. I don't know what to do, God. Or you just bawl your eyes out, you know, because we're girls and we just, that's how we express our emotions. We cry. It feels a lot better, right? God is going, composure. Like, keep yourself composed. Put it together, girls. Put it back together here. Don't let the emotions fly out of handle. Hold on to me. Wait on me. Put your hope in me. Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope is like a firm and a steady anchor for our souls. In fact, hope reaches beyond the curtain and into the most holy place. Listen. Long time ago, they would have the tents where the Holy Spirit would reside, and there was a curtain, and only the priest, the high priest, could go in. Because if you went in, you were like laid out, like you were done for, because that's how powerful that it was. So for us to be able to reach past that curtain into the most holy place, are you reaching past your curtain with hope? Say, but God, I'm going to reach through this curtain and I'm going to trust that you are going to take care of it. You see, no longer does God have just the high priest to be able to approach his throne. We live in a good time, guys. They paid the price for us. We get to open our Bibles. We get to go approach the throne boldly. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't favor me more than he favors you. And listen, you can go to that holy place and reach past that curtain with your hope and say, God, here it is. All I have is hope. I don't even have faith right now, but all I have is hope. And God, I'm hoping that you're going to take this. I'm hoping that you'll take these dreams. God, I'm hoping that you'll take this family. I'm hoping you'll take these finances. I'm hoping you'll take this sickness. And start with hope. Because when you reach past that curtain into the most holy place, he will meet you. Pastor Deborah says, if you cannot see the invisible, you will never do the impossible. I don't want to just be a girl who doesn't do the impossible. That just kind of lives a mediocre life and get to heaven and go, oh, I could have done so much more. Why was I afraid? Why was I scared? Why was I shy and timid? And why wasn't I bold with my faith? And why wasn't I like proud of who God was? Because I promise, if you aren't living this life the way God needs you to, you're going to get to heaven and regret a lot. Don't live in regret there. Live in blessing here and live in fulfillment there. Wait on him, hope in him. And number three, he's your portion. He's your portion. I can't tell you how many times we forget this in a day. When things come our way and someone makes us really mad, says something maybe just to irk you, and maybe it's an attitude, or how many of you like this one? The tone. The tone means everything. It's so funny, my husband, he'll come home and tell me something, and I'm like, but what was their tone? And he's like, I don't know. You know, and I'm just like, no, I need to know the tone, because then that explains the whole situation, because right now what you're telling me makes no sense. And he's like, I don't know, Jess. And I'm like, well, what was said before that? I don't know. You think God's calling us? We're going home! No, just kidding. So anyways. Sorry. That sounded like it was up here, huh? So anyways. So, you know, girls, it's always something with us. Because we're spaghetti, right? We always have something going on. There's nothing not going on in my mind. Like, I seriously pictured myself a box. I made myself a box the other night because I just needed to go to sleep. And I got in the box and I closed it. and it was really dark. And all of a sudden I started thinking about daughters and all the things I needed to do, and I'm like, no, wait, that's not in this box. I was really trying to be like a guy. It didn't work. Okay, like, I don't know how they do it. It's absolutely amazing to me, but I'm just believing maybe when we get to heaven we can have just a break box, okay? Like, that's all I ask for, a break. So, I don't know where I'm going with that. But anyways, okay. He is our portion. You know, so many times, I even know me. Hello, I go looking for something to fulfill a frustration. You know, it was funny. When I was young, I always did my hair differently. Like, I dye it differently. And one of the girls in the office, I always know when something's up with her because her hair goes dark. I'm like, mm-hmm. Your hair's dark. Oh, come on, Pastor Jess. It doesn't mean. I'm like, yes, it does. Am I all right with you? And it's been true every time. And I'm like, see, you're in my office counseling with me because your hair is dark. Like, girls, we'll change something up. We'll go shopping. How many of you do that? Like, oh, I'm just going to go shopping. I'm just going to go find. I don't even care if I have the money. I'm going to credit card it. You know? But have you ever just thought maybe you need to stop and just pray? Maybe you just need to stop and say, okay, wait, God, you are my portion. You are the one that created me. You are the one that knows my anxieties right now. You are the one that knows my hopes and my dreams. You are the one. And I am so focusing on all these other incomplete things in my life. But yet you're so complete. Why do we do that as humans? We go running after what's all incomplete and not like the right answer. But yet we don't even go running after what is complete and is the right answer. He is. He's our portion. In Psalm 73, I want you guys to read it with me. 73:26. My flesh and my heart fail. How many of you can say amen? My flesh and my heart fail. Humanity. On Twitter the other day, I Twittered, and one of my Twitter buddies said, oh gosh, why is there drama in the church? I can't believe this. I laughed so hard. I'm like, what? And then somebody else direct messaged him and was like, because they're human. You know, like, hello? What, you think in the church there's no drama? Anywhere you go, there's drama. Because we're human. We're humanity. Our heart and our flesh will fail us. That is just life. Your heart and your flesh may fail, but, isn't that good? Kind of like a, but. God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. Rest in that. Rest in knowing that he's your portion. Rest in knowing nothing is too big. Nothing's too big for him to heal. Nothing's too big for him to fix. Nothing's too big for him to restore. Now, let me warn you, when you start praying about those things, things will start turning over, and it may not be in the beginning what you want it to be. I know that God was speaking to me about maybe things that were dead in my life and that I'd kind of stopped praying about. We were at one time praying for our mortgage because we were trying to fix our mortgage on our house, and we were in prayer for about a year on our mortgage, and my husband had a nice little conversation with me, and I had told him, no, I'm in faith. I'm praying for it. And he was like, really? Are you? Where's your heart, really? And I'm like, well, I'm just preparing my heart so that if I ever did have to walk away, I wouldn't be attached. And see, woman, I just want to make sure I can disconnect without being hurt, right? You know, I'm thinking that's wisdom. Yep. He got so mad at me. I'm telling you, that is not faith. What is that? That is not faith, Jessica. And I'm like, yes, it is. I'm in faith. You know, I'm a fighter, so don't yell at me. I'll yell back. So I'm like, I'm in faith. And he's like, oh, really? You think you're in faith? God brought us into this house supernaturally. He's not going to get us out of it supernaturally. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess I'm not in faith. So, like, okay, epiphany, you know, like, oh. So all of a sudden, I started getting in faith. And I was like, Lord, you are in control. You're our portion. You're going to fix this. We went home. This is a Wednesday, okay? This is at lunch on Wednesday. And we went home Wednesday night. He had a break. He calls the bank. He applies for a loan. He goes, hey, I got to go back to work. Can you finish, you know, filling out this? I literally was making things. I had flour all over me. I'm like, you want me to what? And he's like, I'm on the phone with the bank. Can you, like, start giving them all of our information? I'm like, okay. The cookies are in the oven. They're going to burn. Like, so I'm telling Chloe, I'm like, hold on. So we're going through everything. Right at the end, I'm like telling the kids, stop fighting. Hey, stop fighting. Stop it. Stop, you know, stop it. And the guy's like, you're approved. I'm like, what? I'm sorry, what did you say? You're approved. For my husband's not here. I was just giving you information. Like, what are we approved for? And he's like, your loan's fixed. You can stay in your house and everything's good. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I was kind of freaking out because literally it was not until I got in faith. We'd been praying for it for a year and I'm thinking I'm in faith. He's my portion. What was I thinking? If I walk away, let me just get myself ready. What is that crap? It's crap, you guys. Get in faith. Trust God with those things that maybe you're thinking I'm being wise about. If you're telling yourself you're being wise about it, you're probably not being wise about it. Okay? Because we try to justify any of our emotions and feelings, right? Let him be your portion. Let him show off in your life. Let him show off. So then it's Sunday night, right? And I go Sunday night. I always love praying for something new on Sunday night because it's prayer night. If you do not come on Sunday nights, you need to come. Because let me tell you something. God is moving. There is like prayer happening in this church. And so every prayer I pray on Sunday nights gets answered. So I'm on the front row. I'm like praying. I'm like, all right. Yeah, let's pray for the mortgage. Oh, I don't have to pray for the mortgage anymore. Wow. Okay, so like what is it, God, that maybe I've forgotten to pray about? And he brought something back up in my life that for years has been on hold. And I believe it's on hold. Because I stopped praying. I just forgot. I just didn't think God maybe was interested or something. I don't know. He wasn't really my portion in that area. So I start praying, and it starts stirring some pots. Let me tell you, drama. I'm like, people are in my office. I'm like, oh, gosh, I think my prayers are doing this to you. Like, and I don't want to tell them, like, oh, I'm thinking my prayers are changing you. Like, seriously, I don't know if this is a good thing. But you know what? It's good. Because we have to be stirred. We have to know who our God is. We can't stay stagnant, girls. And what God did for me, he can do for you. Where are you at? Where's your heart? Check yourself. You may not have a husband that gets in your face and yells at you like mine does, which I'm proud of him. You go, boy. That's what I need. But what is it you need? Because God's your husband. God's your provider. God's your portion. God's the one that knows your ups and downs. He knows what's really happening in your heart no matter what you're speaking out of your mouth. He's your portion. So, to be connected to this matchless God, we're going to wait on him in rest. Not in chaos, not in freaking out mode, okay, as we can do as women. But with rest and composure. We're going to hope in him, and we're going to allow him to be our portion.